You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
And we also have a lot of people. So the question we were asking is simply, Julius Randle goes for 57 points last night. The Knicks, though, lose the game. Insane game. It's regulation. 140 to 134. The Knicks actually led by five in the fourth quarter. Led by four with, like, I think 4 minutes to go or 3 minutes to go. They just couldn't hold on. And it was basically good. It wasn't because they couldn't get any offense. Scored 134 points. They couldn't get any stops. And as great as Randle played, Taurean Prince literally didn't miss. He hit 8 of 8 from three-point range, one shy of the NBA record. And this is a guy that makes, by the way, 1.2 threes per game. He was 8 for 8. But he had it rolling. They couldn't stop him. They couldn't get a key rebound. And as a result, they take an L in what was a wildly entertaining game. And if you're Randle, you have the game of your life, yet your team loses. So after the game, it's not – you don't feel great.
Such a results-driven person. You know, I try to focus on the process a little bit more. And are we taking the necessary steps to get better and build as a team? So hopefully I will be able to tonight, probably not. You know, I'm a little upset about the loss.
So you can't even enjoy it. And that sucks, Bart, right? Like, that's you. That's like you having like a 12-tackle, 3-sack game, but your team loses on a touchdown at the end. And what are you going to do after the game? You're going to sit there and talk about how great you are? No.
Yeah, you can't. You
be pissed.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, man. Hey, how did my guy look? Future Nick. Naj Reid.
Hey, actually, he it's funny. I thought he was going to play better than he did.
Yeah, he did.
I don't think he's
minus 13.
He was fine. He had 12 points, but he didn't make it. Like, it was weird. Like, he didn't play. He wasn't great.
He didn't want to hurt his team. You know what I mean?
Future Nick.
Yeah, he's like,
Naj Reid. But I guess, so the question, like I said, is simply this. It's, has Randle and everything that has happened since last year, obviously the thumbs down, all that stuff, and this year, as great as he's played, and then the performance last night, and even like the way he's conducted himself after this game, where he gets the tech for throwing the basketball, and the question was asked, like, well, you know, why'd you throw the ball? Were you mad? You know, and you get this tech late in the game. Were you mad because, you know, you thought you got fouled or something like that? And I love his answer to this, too.
No, I was frustrated at myself, to be honest. He made a great play, a winning play. And I got to be able to come up with those rebounds down the stretch for our team, and I didn't. So I was just frustrated at myself. I mean, we were down three. Jalen, you know, got a defensive stop. Down three, it's my job to come up with that rebound. 14 seconds left. We do that, we have a chance to win the game. Or not win the game, but at least tie the game. So. I didn't get the job done.
See, again, Bart, like, that's everything you want to hear out of this guy. You know, it's the right things to say. And, start to change your opinion about somebody just based on the evolution of who he is. But you can't deny, and this is where, of course, we just keep going back to this, you know, same thing. When you talk about Randle, there's always...
Yes, Bart!
Right? You know, there's always that. Is late in games, you worry about the reliability of his talent. And in the playoffs, of course, every game generally comes down to late game execution, making big shots, making plays. And a lot of times late in games, that doesn't happen with him. So I guess that's where we're sort of like, you want to be all in on the guy.
Right.
But that part of it makes you say,
yes, but,
you know?
Yeah. Should your best player be your closer? That's the thing you have to ask yourself, because just because he's your best player, you know, some guys just have a knack from closing. So maybe it should be Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson making the decisions. You know what I mean? Or quickly.
Especially Brunson.
Yeah, it should be one of those guys. And, you know, he should be able to look to crash the board, get rebounds, putbacks, and be used as a decoy.
800-919-3776. Let's take Paul in Woodbridge. Go ahead, Paul.
No, just saying that Randall definitely moves the needle. I was at the game last night. The dude's like electric as a leader since Ewing, to me, he's been the only one savior since. But the guy's alone. It's like you're putting him in a room to build a bunch of IKEA furniture, and he's got that little hex tool. How much can he do on his own? I mean, come on here. You got Randall and Quickly. Every night they combine for maybe 30 points amongst them. One of those dudes got to step up every night, help him out as a third. You're not a big three. You're a big one and a half, or sometimes a big two.
Well, Brunson was player of the month in February, and then he got hurt, and he's working his way back. And I think Brunson is somebody that, as he gets himself back into shape, you rely on him late in games. I mean, that's what it was. But last night, for whatever reason, he just was not reliable. And normally he's the one that can take over the offense and get you key buckets. Didn't happen last night. Dante in Queens. Dante.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. As far as Randall moving a needle, he's been playing – I'm glad that he got that career high, but he's been playing all-star level ball before that. But mm-hmm. I'm kind of old school in the sense, like, it doesn't matter what you score. If you lose the game, it's kind of like useless stats. I don't want to be like same old Knicks, but you thought they would have learned something from the Hornets game. It's like they love to embarrass their fan base every now and then. I guess it wouldn't beat them. And, you know, you had no business losing that game. You know, if Ant-Man plays, Karl Towns comes in, and they beat us on our floor, I can respect that. But you got to stop losing to scrub teams. And I think six out of the next nine games are teams under 500. And as crazy as it sounds, that worries me. Because yeah. It seems like you play tight, and it's like this – it's just weird. It's like you're not comfortable playing against the bad teams. I don't understand it.
They play down to the competition, right? So they don't really come out. And instead of choking them out, they play down to the competition, let them hang around, and that team starts to believe.
And again, when you look at what's coming up on the schedule, they have one of the easiest now remaining schedules when you consider opponents, because there's nine games left. Now, Miami, they play Miami twice. And those games, the next two Wednesdays starting this week, they play Miami. And that's important because Miami's behind you. You want to keep them behind you. You don't want to give them any life. But after that, or in the back-to-back, so they play Miami Wednesday. They stay in Florida. They go to Orlando, and they play the Magic on Thursday. So a back-to-back, after playing a tough physical game against Miami, you got to play this Orlando team. You can say, Alan, what the hell are you talking about? The Magic suck. Look where they are in the standings. They're a young team. Mm-hmm. If you've been paying attention, Orlando, Paolo Banchero is going to win Rookie of the Year, and Orlando has played really well in the second half of the season. They are very competitive, tough team. They don't give you an easy one, right?
Markel Fultz actually don't look crazy.
He's actually making shots, right? He's had a good run here too. So that's not an easy second game of a back-to-back on the road after playing a physical, emotional game in Miami. Then they've got a couple of days off, and then they host the Houston Rockets at the Garden on Monday, next Monday. You can say, well, all right, that's a bad team, right? They're not trying to win. But again, pay attention to them as well. They have beaten some good teams this year because those good teams didn't take them seriously. That's a young team that if you give them any type of rhythm and confidence, they're going to show up. And it's the Garden. For some of these young guys, you know how that goes. They show up in the Garden and they want to put on a performance. Their only trip here. You cannot sleep on that game. They play Miami again at the Garden. Then you play Cleveland in Cleveland. And that's kind of like that barometer game for a potential first-round series. Then it's the Wizards, who are kind of like, you know, trying to get into a playoff, 7-10. The Pacers also trying to stay in the 7-10. The Pelicans, who have been a mess. And then you finish with the Pacers, who that game might matter to the Pacers as far as do they get in or do they not. Now, you should clinch a playoff berth by then. But if you're trying to get the fifth seed, every single game matters. So this is not an easy finish to the season by no means. But I'm with you, Bart. Like you can't play down to your opponents. You got to look at games and say, no, that's a game we got to get. And Orlando is one. The Rockets are one. The Wizards are one for sure. And by then, before we get to April, you should have a playoff berth at least locked up, top six.
Yeah, when you're dealing with pressure, though, too, and you're playing teams that don't care, you see teams that beat good teams because they're playing with no pressure. They're playing free. They got no stress.
Right.
Guys hit big shots. Guys are trying to, you know, end the season well because they're afraid for their job. So I worry about sometimes like the Houstons of the world. Houston, who they beat about a week ago?
I'm trying to remember. Denver? I think it might have been Denver. It was somebody that was
they
a good team.
They ran them out the gym.
Beat.
They ran them out the gym. Because young players can get hot and just play with a bunch of confidence, and you got to match it, right? You got to match that intensity. I understand you playing anybody, and if they hype and you let them hang around, they can run away with it. That's the NBA. That's sports in general.
Yeah, and again, this late in the season, you know, that's one of those games that, you know, you just look at it and say, no, we can't lose this game. So they beat the Lakers, right, the Rockets recently.
Yeah.
I think that was the win. They beat the Celtics. That was the game. The Celtics.
But it also was the Lakers because the Lakers was like, all right, we're going to rest Anthony Davis because we should be able to get this dub
and
against
it cost
these scrubs. They beat the brakes off of them.
Yeah. 800-919-3776. Jose in Brooklyn. What's up, Jose?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Just wanted to say in regards to the best performance in a loss all time, for sure, it has to be to me LeBron's 51 versus the Warriors. And, you know, the whole J.R. Smith blunder.
Yeah.
It's got to be that. And I know Bart said no football, but Bart, you're a football guy, so I just have to. Football, it got to be Brady's 1,000 yards versus the Eagles and still losing.
The 500, what was it, 551 yards, right, in that game?
That's where.
I think it was 505.
Oh, okay.
Super Bowl record, too, on top of that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous what he did.
That works both ways because they come back against the Falcons after the Falcons were beating the brakes off of them offensively. Mm-hmm. It's like,
right, yeah, Atlanta playing so well, and then it stops there. Chris in Lodi. Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
It's got to be Devin Booker, 70 points and loses by 10 points to the Celtics. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't enjoy it. That was you have a great scoring performance and you just can't enjoy it because you lose. Like I said, a lot of these, you know, like you think about when Bernard King had 60 on Christmas Day, he lost that game. I mean, that's a famous game that everybody references, but yet in the end, they didn't win the game. You know, Carmelo's 62. They won that game. They were actually blowing out Charlotte in that game. And the minute he got to 62 to get the record back, because it was Kobe's record at 61, they took him right out of the game. Like, that was it. Just get the record, get out of the game, because it was obviously a blowout.
Keep that shooting percentage right.
Yeah, no, exactly. Carlos, South Carolina we go. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
This guy, Randall, he puts everything out in the floor every night, and I don't think people are appreciating what he's doing, you know? I mean, he was done by the time the end of the fourth quarter, you know, towards the end of the game last night.
He played a lot of minutes to that point. He played the entire quarter. He was almost at 30 minutes after three quarters. And I just love that who was our guy that called in? He was just like, you got to leave him in the game. It's like, man, the guy was like, I love how it goes from Tibbs runs these guys into the ground to Tibbs didn't play him enough. Like, you know, I mean, a guy does have to get a rest. And the bench did give you a little bit of a lead. It just, you weren't able to close the deal. So he had a great night, but not everybody else around him did. Brad in the Bronx. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, man, listen. Randall don't move the needle. Come on, he's not even the top 20 New York Knicks, man. Stop playing.
He can't be top 20.
He don't move the needle. He's not in the top 20.
If he keeps his trajectory with the games played, and if he wins a couple playoff games, you don't think he could be top 20 with the Knicks?
But, okay, but you hit me with the butt, Bart, because he has to win a couple of playoff games. He can't go left in the playoffs, so they know that. So he's the one-hand bandit. So he's got to be past.
Well, James Harden for a long time was a one-hand bandit, too, and he still got her done. Like, you don't have any appreciation.
I mean, James Harden, by the way, the Sixers thing right now, the Sixers are playing great right now. They just lost last night, but they had a 9-game winning streak. They've been playing amazing. But the Sixers thing, you have the same argument with the Sixers, is that as well as they've played to date, you are going to watch them and say, well, James Harden never gets it done in the postseason. And you're waiting for him to finally get it done in the postseason. Right? Like Joel Embiid. What is he he has not carried this team to a conference final. So there's a lot of question marks about these guys who are great in the regular season,
and they
but can
get
they
hurt.
Get it done?
Guys get hurt. These are guys that have gotten hurt in the postseason. So yes. Julius Randle could get it because you can rely on him for the most part always being healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of fragile dudes that's in these postseasons that got a history of being hurt. James Harden with the hamstring a couple years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Joel Embiid gets injured, his stomach. You know, you never know if he's going to get gastric, but whatever, some type of gastric problem. Putin everywhere, you know what I mean? Out there like Fat Bastard or Buddy Love, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I think you – listen, availability, I don't think you guys appreciate it enough. It is hard to play that hard those many minutes the entire season.
Mm-hmm. No, it is true. Now, did he say that – and look, I'm the last person to really go that deep, like, when it comes to sticking up for Randle. But he said that Randle's not a top 20 player.
He said top 20.
Top 20. Can you name 19, not players that you like more, but 20 players better than him that have played for the franchise? That's not easy to do, man.
It's not.
Because, again, this has been a franchise that hasn't really done a ton of winning. And if you really look back as far as, again, best players, I mean, if you just want to go by points, we'll go by points. Patrick Ewing, obviously, is the best player, you know, that they've had. Willis Reed, Walt Frazier, right? Those are greats. Earl Monroe, great. You know, how many am I at now? Four? Three?
Mm-hmm.
Am I at three? Right?
Three?
No, I'm at four. I'm at four. All right, so just keep quick count. You're going to put Bill Bradley. You're going to put Dave DeBuscher. That's six. Allen Houston, Latrell Sprewell.
Allen Houston?
Would you put them ahead? Would you put either one of them ahead of Julius? I'd probably put Latrell.
Yeah, what did they
kind of Allen Houston? Allen Houston was a really good Nick before his knee injury.
Yeah, don't tell me about that. Gave him $100 million. We let him go when we got Grant Hill.
He made one of the biggest shots.
Yeah, that's another story.
What about seven or eight, right? Where else are we going here? You going to put Oakley in that ahead of
Randle? I don't know if you put Oakley. Oakley was a position player. He was good for toughness, but he didn't really put
You going Michael Ray Richardson? They didn't do much winning when he was there. I mean, he put up amazing stats. But Bernard King, I didn't even mention him. Bernard King, for sure, right?
Joakim Noah.
So we're 10. Carmelo Anthony, of course, right? Carmelo.
Yeah.
11. See, it's not that easy. What do you want? You want to go as far back to Richie Guerin, Dick Barnett? I said Dick Barnett, didn't I? Dick McGuire. Like, we're going to go back to the 50s now? You want to start doing that? See how hard it is? I don't think we're at 15 yet.
And he came.
You saying John 20? Starks? You taking John Starks?
Yeah, I just.
Is he ahead of Julius Randle all time? As far as a player, talent.
Yeah.
I mean, John was a terrific player, right? Terrific player.
He's like a engine that never could type thing. You know what I mean? He was an overachiever.
Okay. Like, this is not as easy as you think, guys. This is a guy that's averaging 25 a game. He's had, what, four or five 40-point games this season. I'm not trying to defend him. You could say who you like better.
Yeah, but
you could do that.
There's a big difference, Spreck, when you look at the numbers and the work he's put in this season and the season before this one. You know what I mean? You know, let's throw out last season, the season before that. Come on, man.
But you can't throw out last season, but you're right. The two of the last three seasons, he has been terrific.
Yeah, his two outstanding seasons is more than what I've seen Starks do.
I mean, you putting Amari Stoudemire ahead of him?
Didn't play enough. He's always injured. Just because you talk about talent, but, you know, he came here with a degenerative knee, so I don't know if I'm putting him there.
And Amari had hit a great first half of his first season. He was unbelievable, but, yep. Overall, Amari.
Phoenix knew.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I'm trying to, like I said, he said he's not one of the 20 best players in franchise history. And I'm trying to explain to you that's not a list that's that easy to put together to find players you would put ahead of him. And don't give me their career. Don't say, like, well, Tracy McGrady played 8 games for the Knicks and he's a better player. Tracy McGrady played 8 games. I'm talking about a guy that, like, played full seasons. Not cup of coffee guy or a guy that end of his career guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get – don't give me that stuff. I mean, legit. Bob McAdoo, you want to go there? You want us to give you Bob? I'll give you Bob McAdoo. I'll give you that.
He's still 20. He's still like 19, 20, 21. Come on, man. And if somebody's at 21, 22, you can make an argument that they should be in the list because you can throw two people out that you can say, yeah, that you can't really defend.
That's a list. Interesting list right now to put together.
Can I ask the fans something?
Always. Your name's first.
I tell you what, right? Jaylen Brown is always he's non-committal. Like, he came out and he talked about the fan base.
You saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of days ago
he came out.
Stuff
about the Celtics fans?
Yeah, talk about the fan base. He's talking about it's a culture and it's a division of fans that are racist and, you know, they say crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also says he's unsure if he wants to be in Boston long term. He's like, I'll stay where I'm needed and treat it correctly, which means that it's some stuff going on there. If you're the Knicks, you've made yourself attractive enough. If you can get a guy like Jaylen Brown, would that be the star? Is that the good enough star that the Knicks can say they got a number one go-to guy?
Well, to get him, they don't have the cap space. They would have to do something dramatic.
You always tell me cap space is – Well, no. Always be created.
No. When you have your own players. But cap space to get a guy like Brown – See, I think Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown, those are the pieces. I mean, you talk about what the Knicks need.
Jaylen Brown, better 3-and-D guys.
Oh, of course. But he's harder to get because he's going to get a max. He's going to get big money, and the Celtics are going to do whatever it takes to keep him. So it'll be really hard to lure him out of there. To create the cap space to get him or to create trades that would allow you to sign and trade him, extremely difficult.
Is he worth it?
Of course he is.
He's better than Donovan Mitchell. And he's better because he's bigger.
Listen, if you're asking me, if I'm in the front office running that franchise and I'm trying to think about how do I take this team to the next step, that's 100% somebody that I would be putting a lot of effort into behind the scenes.
So I feel he wants to be a number one guy. He can never be a number one guy as long as Jason Tatum is there.
Right. I also think, though, that he also sees himself – He is a person who off the court tries to be a cultural difference maker.
Yeah.
He's trying to make an impact off the court, and he cares. He's very thoughtful about that stuff. And
big in a union, right?
Huh?
He's big in a union, right?
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. Now, he also keep in mind that he used to be with, Kanye's agency, right?
Yeah, and
then he obviously is no longer with them, and I don't know where he went from there. I got to check and see who's agent now.
Please don't be Clutch.
Yeah, if it's Clutch, forget it. It's a wrap.
Please don't be Clutch.
But no, I'm with you. If I'm being aggressive, like in the Pat Riley of my mind,
yeah,
where I am right now at the Knicks, and then I'm like, all right, how do I really now take what I've got here and just
take it
to the next level? I'm already working on like getting into his like I got people in his ear about yo you come to New York man like we can make this happen.
We just scratched the surface with
but they don't have the cap space for it, so you'd have to be unbelievably creative in finding ways to make the room. You know who would do it? Daryl Morey would know how to do it somehow, some way. Daryl Morey would all of a sudden clear cap space and he'd be available. Like I'm telling you.
By any means necessary, man. But I'm saying that could be the star. We remember who were we talking to? Legs. And he was saying, like, who's the guy that's – or we're talking to Windhorse. We was like, who's that superstar that could be available?
And he wouldn't give us a name.
Could be Jaylen Brown, man.
You
could match him in the garden.
Oh, no. No, like that kind of player fits exactly the way Tibbs wants to play, too. He'd be another guy like Josh Hart who just fit perfectly.
And he's a class act, man. He plays great
class
defense.
Act.
Big shot.
I don't think he's gettable, though.
I think he just scratched. He's just scratching the surface. I feel like, you know, because Tatum is there, it makes him shrink a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. But, again, is he gettable? No. But would that make me say, all right, I'm not going to bother? No. I'd be figuring it out and seeing if there was a way that I could do it because that would be definitely special.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we got the calls stacked back, ready to go. We'll get back to them at 800-919-3776. But Bart, right now, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in this segment. We like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio File.
All right, well, let's begin with the biggest news of the day, something that took place at Madison Square Garden, you know, earlier today, about the start of the show, and that is St. John's making it official, introducing Rick Pitino as their new head coach.
And look, I've coached against the great coach, Connor Second, Dean Smith, Frank McGuire in his last home game, from Coach K to Jim Boeheim, all of the great ones in the business. And today, for me, this is one of the most special moments of my life. I've been to the Garden as the Knick coach. I've been to the Garden as the Providence coach. And now I get to represent something really, really special. And it's not about when or if. It's going to happen for St. John's. And it's going to happen in a big way.
I mean, speaking very confidently, Bart, about turning that program out, not even just turning it around, waking it up. It has been dormant.
You got to project leadership and confidence, right? Attitude reflect leadership. He's letting you know, listen to this song. Don't let this soup fool you. I'm a worker. We're going to grind and get this fixed.
70 years old, but everybody that knows him says that he doesn't look it, doesn't act it.
Look,
and they
Pete
feel
Carroll.
Like he's got a ton of energy. Right, Pete Carroll's a great example.
Bill Belichick.
But Pete Carroll's a more upbeat guy. Pitino is a more like a hard driver. Like, he is one that is intense. And his teams will play hard, that's for sure.
Right,
and
Nick,
I don't know.
Saban.
So, yeah, maybe more of a Nick Saban. And, you know, for Pitino, again, grew up in New York City, or was born in New York City, grew up in Bayside, went to St. Dominic's High School in Oyster Bay out in Long Island, and was somebody that came back to be an assistant coach with the Knicks, a head coach of the Knicks for a short period of time, in between stints of coaching college basketball all around the country at different stops. But for Pitino, this is, you know, Iona was a coming home for him, obviously, in New Rochelle. But St. John's is another return to New York, something he always needed different times of his life.
Every time I needed something, I turned to New York. It started at Kentucky on probation. Who did I turn to? Jamal Mashburn. He turned my fortunes around. At Louisville, who did I turn to? Russ Smith. At Providence, Billy Donovan, Darryl Wright from Hayes. It was always the New Yorkers that helped me get over the hump. And now I have to turn to all the New York coaches, the AAU coaches. I have to turn to all the fans to get behind St. John's. Lou built a legendary program. Legendary. And we will get back to those days by exemplifying everything that he taught. Because he truly had a family. It's not about the St. John's players joining me. I'm joining the St. John's players family.
And, you know, the Lou, he's so referencing Lou Carnesecca, and you think about all the local talent that he got, Chris Mullin, Mark Jackson, Malik Sealy, Walter Berry, you know, you go through Shelton Jones, like, I could give you a million names. How about Ron Artest, Felipe Lopez. I mean, landing, though, and obviously some of those names are Brian Mahoney and others. I'm just saying, the St. John's was able to get local guys a lot of times, and it led to success. A lot of times it's hard to keep these New York kids because a lot of them end up going out of prep school. They don't stay here.
Yeah,
Kent St. John's rebuild by digging back into the market that was the New York basketball market. At one point, was one of the best in the country.
And Charity stars at home.
Yeah.
Right? You looking abroad, you need to start right in your backyard. You shouldn't be losing great talent in your backyard because you should have more information on them than anybody. You have to convince them because a lot of these guys are trying to leave the neighborhoods in which they grew up in because they don't want to be involved in the negative stuff. But, man, if you can start convincing them that, hey, man, not only can you come here and play great basketball, but let me tap you into this system, this machine that is New York.
Yeah.
You talk about businesses and what you want to do outside of the court.
Get that Wall Street money in this thing.
Yeah, and what you want to do off the court. We can start making those connections. We'll use basketball as the vehicle to get you there.
We shall see. All right, so don't take our word for it. The impact that Rick Pitino will have on St. John's, what does Jay Billis think?
Rick Pitino is not only an outstanding teacher and coach, one of the best in the game's history, but he is expert at recruiting. And I think it'll be relatively easy for Rick Pitino to get players to St. John's right away, especially with the transfer portal, the players that he wants and needs to build that culture at St. John's and get St. John's back to prominence, not only in the Big East, but nationally. Rick Pitino is one of the best coaches that have ever walked a sideline in the history of college basketball, in the history of basketball, period. And I don't think it'll be very long before St. John's is back at the forefront of the game.
So a lot of belief in that. All right, this Hoops update brought to you by new Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola is here. Jack and Coke, of course. Born for what's next. Born for a bolder taste. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Born for this. Enjoy responsibly. All right, a little more on audio files. Let's go through these a little bit quickly here. Okay, Bart?
Sure.
So, first, let's go to the WBC. Mexico on the verge of pulling off an upset in the semifinal over Japan. But then you get this and the play-by-play coming from Japan TV.
Now, you know I took Japanese.
I don't know what just happened there.
You know I took Japanese when that was my minor. You know what he said?
What?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can't believe it. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Can't believe he did. Oh, my God. Run. Oh, my God. End quote.
It was something, but it was certainly something special.
Shohei Ohtani. Go talk to him. Let's go, Pete Alonso. Let's recruit, baby. This ain't about trying to win this year. It's about trying to win next year, too, and this year. Get you a pitcher, baby, a pitcher and a big bat. Oh, man, he's so perfect for the Mets. $500 million.
Well, Japan comes back to win in the ninth, and they will play the U.S. for the championship of the WBC.
Perfect time to speed date.
There is that. All right, there's also this. Interesting. Some shade for the superstars. First, let's go to Mario Chalmers on the Playmaker Pod. And he was asked about the comparisons between Michael Jordan and LeBron James. Now, remember, Chalmers was the starting point guard on the Heat teams that went to four straight finals with LeBron and Wade and Chris Bosh. And he and LeBron had, famously got into it in a huddle at one point as well. So here's Mario Chalmers being very honest about the comparison that he sees between Jordan and LeBron.
Nobody fears Bron. Nobody's like, damn, I gotta go play this Bron tonight. Nobody said that. I don't know why.
Right.
Because I've seen people be scared when they actually line up to him, but they're not scared thinking about that matchup.
Right.
You hear anybody from that era talk about going against Jordan, there's a fear.
Right.
So when you have people that fear a player, then that's telling you something different already. Like, Jordan's just that guy. Like, everything was, I want to be like Mike.
Right.
What do you think of that comparison? Nobody feared LeBron.
Yeah.
But the night before, you were fearing having to play against Michael Jordan.
Unless you was the Pistons, which is the hardest team to ever play.
Well, I think the point he's trying to make, though, is that fear factor is what differentiates greatness between one or the other. If you thought that's the only shade that LeBron took, there's more.
He taking strays?
So Austin Reeves, as you know, he had a great game. He had a career game the other night. And LeBron was so proud of him. There was big cheers and all that stuff with the Lakers. And then some fans decided to say, Austin Reeves, back in the day, what were you putting on social media? Well, there's one from 12 years ago when he was like 10 where he has a Kobe meme where it says, when I need some peace and quiet, I set my phone to LeBron mode. No ring.
Oh.
Then there's another post where he also retweets somebody that had Kobe and MJ greater than LeBron. And then it says, we didn't have to team up with two of the top five picks on our own draft class, along with the greatest three-point shooter ever to win rings. He also said in a response to somebody that Dirk is too much for LeBron during the 2011 finals. All that stuff was surfaced, and it was brought to LeBron's attention, of course. And so Austin Reeves has the game of his life, and LeBron is cheering him on anyway. And here's Reeves after the game in his mea culpa.
It's not just a player, you know. You're talking about, you know, arguably one of the greatest players ever. And for SportsCenter for airing me out for a tweet or a post that I made in 2012 about LeBron, I appreciate that. But
oops, delete your posts, everybody. You never know who you're going to team up with. Like all those things I said about Bart Scott back in 2012, I deleted them all.
You know what? Like Carlin, we and Carlin had this whole thing. Yeah. It's like, I just want to let you know, man, I said some things before when you were a player. Like, man, I said, Carl, man, if you don't get out of my face, man, I don't care about that stuff. I ain't listen to you then. I ain't going to listen to you while we're working on the show.
Oh, you get the last shot in. All right, that's Audio Files.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So I'm trying to make this list. We're going to do this in the 2 o'clock hour. I am trying to go. We had that caller that said that Julius Randle's not even a top 20 player in Knicks history.
So disrespectful.
And you guys know I know Knicks history. Like, I can tell you about Carl Braun. Like, that dude played like back in the 50s. And I'm telling you, I can't come up with 20 players that are better than him. I mean, I have 18 that are on the list. I don't know where I would put Randle among these 18. But I'm just saying, if you're saying not top 20, I'm not power ranking, I'm just writing names down. Yeah. I'm at 18. I can't come up with any more names.
You can't say J. Kidd.
He had played a half a season. There's certain guys that you can't count because they barely were here.
So tell them the rules. Tell them the rules.
The rules are you have to at least played 3 seasons.
Okay, got you.
Let's just start there. 3 seasons for sure. If you are a Hall of Famer, you're already on the list. Like, that's it. Like, that you're on the list, but you had to have played 3 seasons. So, you know, like, there's not a lot of names here that will qualify.
Out of this long historical history of the Madison Square Garden.
Original franchise. Been around as long as the league has been around. So, yeah.
See, that's why I didn't say top 10. I said top 20 because top 20 make you.
No, top 10. No. He's not in top 10. I can give you the top 10. We'll do this at 2 o'clock. We're going to do this at 2 o'clock because this is something that I think I want people to call about this. I want to argue if people want to argue it. You might not like him for whatever reason. It's always that, you know, but when it comes to Randall. It's like he's done this, but, and I get it. Like, that's, like, as the caller said, it's like you talk about Randall in positives.
Yes, but.
And then you add the rest. And I understand it. But when you look at the accomplishments of his he's actually been here for three plus seasons. He's two-time All-Star. He's going to be All-NBA again this year. And he's probably going to lead them to the playoffs again. And so with all that, it's like, man, there's not a lot of guys that have done all those things. So I got a list. You think about it. You tell me who you have in mind, and I'll tell you if they're on the list or not. And if we come up with 20 and if you have two more names that I don't have on my list, that's what I want to see. 800-919-3776. You know what? I just forgot one. There you go. I got 19. But yeah, Bart, let's do that because I know people love going through history and arguing history and all those other things. And I just definitely think that this is something that will spur a conversation. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Dierks Bentley because he's coming to the PNC Bank Arts Center on Thursday, July 27th with support from Jordan Davis. So right now, as we still wait for Aaron Rodgers to officially become a Jet, we want you to be caller number 12 right now at 888-987-ESPN. And you'll score a pair of tickets to Dierks Bentley at the PNC Bank Arts Center. It's all from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. So let's play that game. Top 20 all-time Knicks. Does Julius Randle make the cut? One caller said no. Let's see if we can figure that one out.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.